Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. An article that I read just recently, it was just posted January 11th, so just yesterday, but it says this: there is almost nothing more frustrating than when the media gets the fundamental essence of a controversial story wrong. And that's exactly what seems to be happening with the widespread incomplete reporting on the growing flap between conservative Southern Baptist and Dr. Russell Moore, president of the denomination's Ethic and Religious Liberty Commission. I've talked about this subject briefly on the broadcast before, and I've expressed my opinions very similar to what I found in this article as well, that I didn't think that it really was revolving around the idea that Moore was anti-Trump. I think there's more to the story than that. Janet Mefford, in writing this article, has done an excellent job, I think, of spelling out some of those things that I was talking about and in much greater detail in her blog that she has out at her website. The website is www.janetmefford.com. With that, Janet joins us today to talk about this article and about this issue. Janet, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program. How you been?
Just fine, Kevin. Thank you for the invitation. It's great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. Why don't we start by a lot of our listeners used to listen to your weekly broadcast. It actually came on right after this one on this station, and they really enjoyed it. Why don't you just take a moment before we talk about this to bring them up to date about what you're doing now?
Well, thank you. I am doing two shows now. I am doing my show Janet Mefford Today, which is a nationally syndicated Christian radio show, and I'm also doing a daily Christian syndicated radio show for American Family Radio called Janet Mefford Live. So when I do get a few moments here and there, I like to blog. I don't do it as much as I'd like to, but just kind of keeping busy with all the radio.
Excellent. For our listeners' sake, Janet Mefford's broadcast, a best of, is aired on Saturdays right here on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. You can listen to that at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. I think they're also working on trying to fit Janet into another slot here during the week as well. Janet, when I think about a story like this with Russell Moore, the opening statement made by in Jude's of General Epistle comes to my mind. Jude wants to write about something else, something more related to the common elements of salvation and so forth. But he says, it was needful for me to write unto you that you earnestly contend for the faith. And I just kind of feel that way on a lot of these issues. I would love to talk about the atonement or the different aspects of the person and work of Christ, but it's necessary for us when some of these issues arise that we address them, right?
It's exactly the way I feel, yes. And I don't think that it's always helpful to constantly be swinging at other Christians and talking about what you don't like here or what you don't like there, but there are times when you simply cannot ignore a situation that is going on, especially one like this that is affecting so many people.
Now, this particular story has got a number of different elements to it, but one of the issues is that it's being framed right now in the news, as you reported in your blog, but in many other places as well, as an anti-Trump issue. That's not necessarily the case, right? There was a lot about Russell Moore that preceded Donald Trump ever even thinking about running for the presidency, right?
Absolutely, and this is the danger when people jump onto a story late in the game. It's like coming into the baseball game in the ninth inning and giving a full game analysis when you weren't there for the first eight innings. And that was why I wrote the piece. You're right. It didn't just start with Russell Moore's comments about Donald Trump. And might I just say as an aside, his feelings about Donald Trump and some of the negative things about Donald Trump were shared by what I would say is most Christians. When he talked about Donald Trump not being maybe the best person character-wise to be president of the United States,
sure.
and some of the stuff about women and three marriages, I don't know any Christian who didn't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it went back for me. I'll just give a little bit of background here. In 2014, I had done a couple of shows on some comments that Dr. Moore had made at an ERLC gathering that occurred back then, and he had made a very, what I consider to be, a very inflammatory statement about Christian talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
And people can find that online if they want to listen to it. But essentially what Dr. Moore had said at that time was that he was listening one day to Christian talk radio against his doctor's orders, and he said, if all I knew of Christianity was what I heard on Christian talk radio, I'd hate it too.
Hmm.
And I thought to myself, and then he had a little bit more after that, you know, most Christian talk radio is basically the equivalent of saying, you kids get off my lawn, and that's not the gospel. But the thing was, he didn't have to say that inflammatory remark to segue into the discussion about the importance of the gospel, because of course the gospel is most important. The problem I had with that remark was that he impugned, in one statement, basically all of Christian talk radio, because he didn't say one show.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was listening to Christian talk radio. If all I knew of Christian talk radio, Christianity was what I heard on Christian talk radio, I'd hate it too. That was impugning more than one show and more than one host.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it offensive because I know a lot of people in Christian talk radio. I've worked in Christian talk radio for a long time. These are people who are absolutely gospel-centered, absolutely concerned about preaching the gospel on the air, and do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a fair characterization. And so I did some shows on it. There was a letter that went out by the Bot Radio Network to a number of people in the industry, and a lot of people were upset about it, lot of people. And Russell Moore never offered a public apology. He could have easily come out and said something to the effect of, I don't want to name the show I was listening to because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I could have phrased it better. I could have said a remark that was less sweeping, and I certainly didn't mean to offend everybody in the industry, and I'm really sorry. That's all he had to say, but he didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I said, something is off here. I don't know why any Christian, A, would say that, and then, B, would refuse to apologize to all the people he offended, and so from there, a lot more happened.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was listening to your broadcast that day that he made those comments, and I wasn't sure if that was at the ERLC event that was related to homosexuality or not.
No,
but
it wasn't. Okay. It was an earlier one.
Okay, yeah. But he seems to use some of these types of statements, you know, kind of poke a Christian in the eye as a way of endearing himself to the audience. You know, he seems to have made other comments like this, like, I'm a survivor of the Bible Belt America.
Right.
Then he came out with those comments much later here in the 2016 presidential campaign. But, you know, he'd said that I would say that Ted Cruz is leading the Jerry Falwell ring, Marco Rubio is leading the Billy Graham wing, and Trump is leading the Jimmy Swaggart wing. And he seems to, you know, take a swipe at all these other Christians as a way then of endearing himself to a more liberal audience, I think.
Yes. That's what I think, too, and he's effectively done that. And what people don't understand, I was interacting with somebody who had written a piece that was in opposition to what I said, and he was kind of arguing with me on social media. And I said, the problem with looking upon him as being gospel-centered and a bold leader is that you don't know enough to understand the whole story. That was why I wrote the blog post that I wrote.
Mm.
He has taken to task conservatives and the old guard on numerous occasions. There was a quote I put in the blog, for example, where he wrote a column on the fact that politics shouldn't drive the gospel, which is something we would all agree with.
Mm-hmm.
We think, actually, as Christians, that it is our Christian faith that determines how we see the world and how we end up voting. I mean, he got it backwards, and I don't think that he was right about that. But he said in the course of that article, it caricatured TV, conservative preachers, whatever, and he said, you know, sometimes they confirm the caricature of Elmer Gantry meets Yosemite Sam.
Mm.
Now, he doesn't name names. He doesn't say this guy or that guy. He just does a sweeping insult, basically saying that somebody out there, or many somebodies out there, are combination cartoon characters and boozy skirt-chasing hucksters, which is what Elmer Gantry was in that book. So when you drop those kinds of lines, you probably get chuckles from the audience, but what you're also doing is being rude. Mm-hmm. You're being rude. Because I feel very, very strongly, Kevin, that regardless of errors or sins that might have been part of the old guard religious right movement of Falwell, et cetera, D. James Kennedy, I actually greatly admire those men. Those men, I just finished reading a biography, actually, by Jerry Falwell's wife. Of course everybody knows Jerry Falwell, but I wanted more details on his life and how he started his ministry. And regardless of what you think of various issues, Jerry Falwell was a very impressive figure. He built this huge Christian university. He founded his own church, Thomas Road Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. He founded the Moral Majority, and he was extremely critical to the process of getting Ronald Reagan elected, who changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a political thing that he didn't like the politics. When he talks about being a survivor of Bible Belt America, he's written about this extensively. He didn't like conservatism growing up. He worked as an aide to a Democrat congressman, Gene Taylor, who was a Blue Dog Democrat, but voted with Nancy Pelosi 82% of the time.
He being Russell Moore, we should say, right?
Yes, Russell Moore worked for Gene Taylor. So this is, all of it kind of ties together. When you start connecting the dots, it becomes problematic. And the Trump thing came along later, and when he was talking about Christians selling out their principles to vote for Trump, that was, again, a sweeping generalization. Sure, there were some people who jumped on Trump early, and people said, well, should you or shouldn't you have done that? But most people I know who voted for Trump as Christians did it very late in the game and would have preferred another candidate out of the initial pool of candidates.
It's been my experience as well.
Yeah, that's my deal with that. That just wasn't a fair characterization.
Yeah, and here's the rub to within the denomination, within the SBC. People are paying for this. paying to have Russell Moore paying via, they collect monies to be able to support the ERLC, which I think is between $3 and $4 million budget per year. I'm not sure. But with that, they're paying for this, and then they're going, hey, I'm paying this guy, and he keeps poking me in the eye. He keeps offending me by doing, making these statements of things that I hold dear. Maybe a couple things have happened. Maybe he's not the right guy for the job, one. Maybe there's a bit of mission creep that he's gotten involved in a whole lot of things that the ERLC was never intended really to be involved in. Or, what are we – maybe we don't need this at all. Why am I paying this money to have this happen to me? And so there's where the questions really come up. And again, that was all pre-Donald Trump. Donald Trump was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yes, and on another issue, something else I wrote about, which I think is really important for people to know, the ERLC jumped on board this legal fight that the Obama administration is on against this mosque, and it's the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge. This is in New Jersey, a township that has been having this fight over building this mosque. And the ERLC jumped on board with this amicus brief. We have to help the mosque get built, because if we don't get the mosque built, then that could affect Baptist church construction down the road, which is completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That nobody is stopping Baptist churches from being built. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this horrible UN Security Council resolution 2334, which throws Israel under the bus. This just happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
The ERLC has said nothing about this anti-Israel resolution when the SBC just passed a resolution last year strongly standing with Israel. And if I were a Southern Baptist, I would look at that, and the people in charge of the Southern Baptist Convention need to address that aggressively, because that's a disconnect that cannot be allowed to stand, to not say anything about that horrendous Israel resolution. That's outrageous.
Mm-hmm. There's another associated article here, or incident that took place, was the Russell Moore serving on the evangelical immigration table. Now, this is a George Soros-funded entity working along with President Obama to basically convince Christians that open borders is a very good thing for our country. And he served on this until it kind of came to light, and they were making some mention of it and so forth. And then it kind of went under the radar, and there was seemed to never be mentioned again. But that he was actually and actively working in that group to try to bring this about, right?
Yes, he's one of the heads. His name is still on the list of heads of the Evangelical Immigration Table. And I linked, I believe, to the article that the Institute on Religion and Democracy had written on this at the time. The National Immigration Forum, which is a Soros-funded entity, gave, I believe it was, $250,000 to the Evangelical Immigration Table. Mm. And I know this because at one point, those ads for the Evangelical Immigration Table ran on my show.
Mm.
And we fought it behind the scenes, and we said this is a Soros-funded entity, and everybody agreed this is not appropriate, so eventually they kind of drifted off. But this was something that was going on, and right, again, we're getting back to another issue on which most Christians do not concur with the Evangelical Immigration Table. It's, you know, it's about, well, we need to, you know, amnesty, and we need to reach out to people who are here. I mean, you can read all this stuff online about it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Southern Baptists have to decide, is this where we stand as a denomination?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what we want to stand for as the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S., or isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to consider. Do you really want a Soros-funded entity involving the head of your ERLC? I sure wouldn't.
I've noticed also that Russell Moore seems to only appear on a lot of left-leaning media outlets, you know, CNN and the Washington Post, New York Times, you know, these types of things. And they seem more than willing to have him speak about it because right now what he was to them, I think, was he was an anti-evangelical voice because he was kind of chastising the evangelicals. And then to sweeten the pot even more, he was an anti-Trump voice. So they're like, hey, we're more than happy to have him on talking about these two things. They could care less about the purity of the evangelical movement or what's going on in the SBC and that type of stuff, other than these are ways to knock both of those two groups down to size. And I just think, you know, they really need to bring this up at their meetings, whether it's at the convention itself, and question, do they really want to keep paying for this to be taking place? One of the other things you note in your article is that the way that he approached the same-sex homosexual issues, he said at one time that, you know, he would attend a same-sex wedding reception. And then there were also some very questionable comments made at the entire ERC conference, so much so that many of the pro-homosexual groups like Matthew Vine and so forth, I remember them tweeting during that time that they said that they felt that they could have dialogue with them on these issues. So they interpreted it as being very pro-homosexual and you know, just not the standard line that you would accept. Speak to those issues.
Yes, there were quite a few things that were problematic. That particular gathering, you're right, there was a bit of a red carpet rolled out for these homosexual activists. Justin Lee is with the Gay Christian Network, holding to this idea, as does Matthew Vines, that you can simultaneously be an unrepentant homosexual and a Christian. And Matthew Vines, in particular, is the Trojan horse to end all Trojan horses. His whole deal is to get into evangelicalism and change everybody's mind on homosexuality. He's had a number of high-profile meetings with evangelical leaders across the country. I've written about this before. But I'll tell you what really bothered me about that particular moment was the fact that Restored Hope Network was there. Now, people may be familiar with Restored Hope Network. These are some of the greatest Christians I know. These are a lot of people who have come out of homosexuality, Ann Polk, Stephen Black, a number of other great people with fabulous ministries and incredible testimonies of the grace of God in their lives. They were at the gathering. They were told by the ERLC, according to what they've shared with me, that they couldn't have a booth. And they were there in attendance. They got there. There was plenty of room for them to have a booth. They were just shut out. Now, that should concern people because if you're going to say, we're just softening the tone on how we deal with the issue of homosexuality, but we still hold to orthodox truth on it, it's hard to maintain that narrative when you're kicking the conservatives yet again to the curb, which is what I think they essentially did. On the reception thing, that was ridiculous. Why in the world would you say you can't go to a same-sex wedding because it's a sinful union, but then you can go to the reception and help the couple celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
That's you know, that's Solomon's baby. Well, cut the baby in half. Well, that's not a solution to it.
Mm.
And on the issue, another issue to bring up was the issue of Russell Moore and also Al Mohler, and that's another issue.
Right.
Dissing reparative therapy. And I'll tell you something. I have been to the NARTH conference. This is a group about on reparative therapy, and they don't even want to call it that anymore. This has been so mischaracterized, this whole issue of reparative therapy. Pray the gay away. People who say, come to me and I'll heal you and Jesus will make you ungay in 60 minutes. Nobody is doing that, and the reparative therapy movement is not doing that. And Moore stood up, mischaracterized what reparative therapy even is, and then said, we reject it. Well, he rejected a straw man.
Mm-hmm.
And I included a link to a great article by Dr. Robert Gagnon, who really is the theological expert par excellence on the Bible and homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an article all about that, you know, that this was a mischaracterization of reparative therapy. You guys got it all wrong. Reparative therapy essentially is somebody comes into a therapist and says, I have unwanted same-sex attractions. Can you help me? And the therapist goes, yeah, I want to help you meet your therapy goals. Whatever your therapy goals are, I want to help you. That's all it is. It's not praying the gay away.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, and that's another example where he sets up a straw man only to knock it down, and he was incorrect in his premise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that on a number of occasions with Dr. Moore.
And as appreciative as we are of the work that has been done by Al Mohler and so forth, Dr. Mohler opened up that convention by apologizing for some views that he had held previously on homosexuality. And one of them was whether or not people were born this way. So it opened up with that apology and kind of set the tone. And also, during that time, they kept saying that there was no third way, but they seemed to introduce a third way during this. And the third way, you know, what I'm referring to is that homosexuality is sin. You must repent of that in order to be a Christian and so forth. And so they were saying there wasn't a third way, but they seemed to introduce a third way, which was that as long as you remain celibate, then you can still, you know, you can have the desires, but if you don't act on those desires, then you can still be considered a Christian. Well, that's not the gospel. That is the idea of just a behavior modification, not biblical transformation that takes place. And there were people in the SBC like Denny Burke and so forth who were talking about that. But again, they didn't get the audience there to be able to address those issues. And the basic statement that came out of that view about that wasn't acceptable to have this third way of celibacy was that the desire for sin is sin. And I think that succinctly states that view. So I don't think those folks got a proper hearing during that period of time either, and maybe not afterwards as well in the ERLC.
Now, right, and it was problematic. Can I just throw something in, Kevin, which is relevant to this? Alan Chambers, who ended up closing Exodus International after all of the brouhaha over, you know, how he kept drifting and drifting and drifting.
Yeah.
He's a full-blown gay activist now. He's not practicing homosexuality so far as I know. He's married. But he's doing LGBT communion and services at the National Cathedral, I mean, which people knew at some point it's going to come to something that bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying the same thing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's about holiness. It's not about behavior. And so he would say the same sorts of things where what you really need to do is to be celibate.
Mm.
That's the issue, is be celibate. Well, look where that led him eventually.
Exactly.
And that's why people look at that and they say, I've seen this red flag before. This didn't end well the last time I saw this. And people should be concerned and pay attention.
Mm-hmm. In the Russell Moore issue related to politics, he seems to be saying, and you have that statement in your article there, about, you know, politics is for me but not for thee. He dabbles in it all the time. And, you know, we just talked about being on the on the evangelical immigration table. He wrote an op-ed with Marco Rubio. He's heavily involved in politics, but he seems to say to the rest of the folks, you know, in the pew, he says to them, well, you shouldn't be involved in this because it's dirty and it's undermining the gospel and so forth. So you can't have it both ways.
A little hypocritical, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can be involved in politics as long as they're liberal politics. Then it's gospely, but I guess if you're involved in conservative politics, you're part of the problem that creates survivors of Bible Belt America. Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I've observed as well.
Hmm. Well, Janet, you've done an excellent job. We just went through a few of the points that you pointed out here in your article, but great job on listing these things. I got to commend you for your courage, because if it's anything like I've received, you're going to take a few lumps for this one, and we just need to stand firm on the truth. Amen?
Amen. I agree.
Well, thank you so much, Janet, for joining us today. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Kevin. You too. I really appreciated your having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now. That was Janet Mefford. As I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, you can find out more about Janet and what she's doing now with Janet Mefford Today and also Janet Mefford Live. The best place to go for all things Janet Mefford is out at her website, www.janetmefford.com. The article that we were talking about today is right there on the homepage still. It's called Russell Moore versus Conservatives. This isn't just about Trump. It's not. I know it's being framed that way. And it may be advantageous to some to frame it that way, but that is just not the truth. There's much more here.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.